I remember saying to Charlene, our little sister, that the world has a lot of appearances. So just be very mindful and be very careful of the people that you do surround yourself with and the relationships that you want to go into moving forward, because it's just as important nowadays to really dive deep into the person that you are communicating with, especially if you want to be with this person for an extended period of time.
My happiness should not depend on you making me happy. My happiness should depend on what fulfills me. Fill your cup up first, because you are not able to fill anyone else's cup if you don't have any water in yours.
It's more so important that we build this trust, and we understand that trust is very, very important with whatever relationship we're going into. I don't know. I might be going too deep with that one.
But no, I love it. I love it when you go deep. That's crazy.
Yeah, you need to relax.
Yeah.
You phrase certain things, bro.
Look, you know what I meant. So I'm moving along swiftly.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Teddy Talks. I am super happy to have you with us again. Thank you very much for joining us as always. My name is Teddy Suarez. I'm joined by my brother, Sydney Suarez. Bro, how have you been lately? You know, I always like to ask how you are. So let's kick start with that. How have you been?
Yeah, no, things are good. Things are good. You know, a few weeks ago, we had Valentine's Day. A bit weird, you know, not celebrating it with someone who I can call my girlfriend. But things are good, man. Things are good. You know, outside of the world of love, you know, I'm enjoying life.
Did you feel lonely on Valentine's Day?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? No. Oh, that's good. Mm. That's good. So why did it feel weird? Not was there a bit of FOMO seeing everything on social media where it's like, oh my God, you didn't get someone a rose this year? Or did you get someone a rose?
No, I don't have that many admirers. So if you're out there and you like me, please send me a rose. You know, I'd like to receive a rose now and again. No, I'm joking. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm in a weird place right now because I don't know why I woke up having a bit of a trust issue complex at the back of my mind.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I just had a feeling of waking up and thinking, I don't know if anyone has ever had this actually. Throw a comment below if you had, but I just woke up just feeling a little bit on edge, a little bit uneasy. And I just thought to myself,
you had a nightmare or something?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't remember what the dream was or why I woke up feeling this way, but I just thought to myself, does Teddy Suarez trust too easily? Mm-hmm. And there was just a weird thought that went through my mind. And that's going to be part of today's conversation. I want to go with that instinct as well. And actually, I have a quote that dives straight into it. So to be trusted is a greater compliment than being loved. And that's by George MacDonald.
Wow, to be trusted is a greater compliment than being loved. Why did that one resonate with you?
Again, just the way that I felt today, and it begged the question for me, could you love someone and not trust them? And vice versa, could you trust someone and not love them? But more so the other way around. Could you love someone, but yet not trust that person? Because I feel like there are situations where you could be either in a relationship, and I don't just necessarily mean just, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. But I do kind of think there could be potential dynamics in that alone, but also amongst families. Could you could I love you, Sydney, as my brother and not trust you? Wow. I mean, 9 times out of 10, I'm joking, 10 times out of 10, I do trust you. I trust you with my life. So,
and you love me.
Yeah.
Good.
I do love you. Sometimes there's a little bit of, no, there's never hate. Mm. There's never hate. I've never, I can't imagine any time where I've ever hated you. I can't believe I actually said that out loud about hey-ho.
It's the devil.
But yeah, so that's why it resonated with me, not just because of the meaning that it had in my life. I think I've been in situations where I do definitely feel like she loves me, but she doesn't trust me. I definitely, when I woke up this morning, I definitely, and saw that quotation, that resonated with me more than anything.
What are some of the reasons, maybe not from your experience, but in general, why do you think people don't trust their partners, but they love them?
There's a multitude of reasons. We can go with their past experiences in their own relationships, or like I was saying, it doesn't necessarily have to be a relationship with the opposite sex or whatever they're attracted to or whoever you're attracted to. It could be within the family. It could be from a work perspective. You could have had someone that in the office has just absolutely snaked you and you thought it was your best office pal. And then suddenly you're getting fired and this person's getting a promotion, you know? Or not that that's ever happened to me. I've just literally plucked that one from thin air. But yeah, so I think there's so many different layers as to why people don't necessarily trust straight away. And call it trauma. It could be some sort of trauma within the realms of why they may or may not trust. I don't know. What do you think? Why do you think? Have you even been in a position where you thought, I don't really trust you, but I can really hang with you. I can really, you know, be around you. I won't go as far. Go on. I'd actually say you've loved someone, but you haven't trusted them. Have you ever been in that position before or even seen anything of that ilk before?
That's a very good question and an interesting one. I mean, obviously, for those of you back home, if you've been following some of the episodes, you know, I talked about, you know, being cheated on as a 12 or 13 year old boy, you know, when I was going out with this much older lady. And, you know, maybe that's was my first experience of feeling some sort of trust issue. Well, I can't say I loved her.
There was affection
for her, and whatever affection means to a 13-year-old boy, right? But I think, you know, some of the reasons, including the ones that you mentioned, revolve around communication.
Interesting. What aspects of communication?
You know, okay. If I'm a guy and I am a guy, but if I'm in a relationship and
what are you identifying today?
It doesn't matter who I identify with. It doesn't matter, you know, this, in the world we live in, I can identify as anything, this chair, if anything, you know. But, you know, what I was going to say was, if I'm in a relationship, in a new relationship, and I see my partner on social media, you know, she's gone out with her friends and, you know, she's uploaded a story where she's partying with other guys. You know, she's not necessarily doing anything that's crazy. She's not doing a madness, but she's partying with other guys. That might make me feel some type of way. I'm in a, come on, like, we're in our honeymoon period. What's going on, babe? And if I don't tell her, that's how I feel, and you know, I hold on to this feeling and I build that resentment, and you know, it comes out when I'm drunk, or you know, we're fighting about, you know, who takes the bins out, and all of a sudden it's like, it's your turn because you were outside last night doing a madness. So, yo, wait, where did that come from? You know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the problems that occur in relationships happen because people don't know how to talk to each other.
Mm.
Or they don't even create space for it, you know? I was, I can't even remember who it was. I don't know whether it was Jay Shetty or someone else, but they were talking about their relationships and they said something like, you know, they will catch up with their partner every week or every other week. It's just this, or every quarter to say, hey, look, how am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we on the trajectory that you imagined? And if not, what can I do to get me back there? And I found that very interesting because obviously from a corporate setting, which is where I'm from, you'd have quarterly business reviews.
Mm.
Why don't you do that with your partner and your relationship?
Do you think quarterly would be enough?
Nah, I don't think it's enough.
No way.
A lot can happen in 3 months.
Agreed.
I mean, what do you think about, you know, communication and the role it plays in building trust and having trust issues?
I think it's really, really important. I think it's important because as well, you have to establish an understanding through communication. If you don't understand the person, there's always going to be a breakdown because you never really quite get why someone's done something, much less if there's lack of communication and there's a lot of assumptions going on, then personally, I feel like there will always be a communication, there'll always be a trust breakdown. Because one person thinks one way of said person's actions, it might not even be that person doing what the other person is assuming. So if the communication was all interlinked and everything was correctly connected, I don't think there would be any mistrust. And I really like the fact that you touched on a social media example, because I did want to ask you whether or not the digital age would impact the strength in trust in relationships, and what is your thoughts on the influence of social media when it comes to building a certain level of trust, especially if, I mean, I don't know, I have never had a relationship that progressed beyond a dating app or sliding in someone's DMs or whatever. It's always been face to face. All three of my relationships were face to face driven. So how do you think social media, the digital age, the digital world that we're in right now, impacts the communication in order to trust at a higher level within relationships, not just relationships that are amongst, what do you call it? Is it platonic relationships?
Platonic relationships, yeah.
Platonic relationships, and then obviously your family relationships and friendships and all those kind of things. How do you think?
Well, look, you know, we love a good statistic.
Yes.
So, I've got some stats on this. And the survey found that over 50% of couples report using technology to communicate with each other throughout the day, highlighting the significant role of digital communication in maintaining connections.
Interesting.
Which I found very interesting. I was talking to someone about this the other day, right? And, you know, we all have our own ways of communicating. Like, some of us are big texters. Some of us love a voice note.
I hate texting, by the way. I'm not a fan of texting.
I'm not a fan of texting as well. I can't lie, I hate it. Some of us love to FaceTime.
Yeah.
Some of us like just calls.
Nice little voice note.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're a true old school gentleman, you'll write letters.
You'll be writing letters. Yeah. It might level up to an email.
Yeah.
But
put some saucy comments in that subject line. No, but it's, yeah, I found that interesting. So, no, but from my perspective, right, I think that, you know, in this digital age, it is quite hard to build trust because, you know, I might be getting to know you, you know, on Instagram, you know, and I'm also falling in love with your pictures as well as the things that you're saying to me. And I'm also falling in love with your story updates as well as everything that you're saying to me.
Mm.
And what happens if some of those things change when we're in a relationship?
Wait, are we talking change or are we talking catfish? Because as soon as you started saying that, my head went towards someone that portrays that they enjoy a healthy lifestyle, but actually they don't actually enjoy a healthy lifestyle.
Mm, it's not authentic. It's not real. So, and you figure that out when we're finally with each other in person, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you've been portraying that you like this and you do that, but that's what you want the world to know. But as I've been getting to know you and the things that you're saying to me and I'm observing your behaviors, that's not what you're really like.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't like that. It's that I didn't fall in love with that.
Mm.
So, you know, we do have to be very careful with how we project ourselves online. I think that's more of just like a personal branding thing. But be conscious of the role that plays in communication as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that is subtly communicating who you are to someone else who could potentially be your lifelong partner.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows? I mean, I may be scaring off, you know, my Cinderella, or, you know, my Bianca.
You know, yeah, it's Bianca.
Because of the pictures that I've put up online and because of the stories that I've posted online, and we have to be very conscious of that. I mean,
what about lack of posting? Because I know you mentioned Valentine's at the very start of this conversation. Mm. On Valentine's Day, I don't think I posted at all on Valentine's Day. Mm. Obviously, the Teddy Talks page posted, active, fantastic. But my personal page, I didn't post anything.
Mm.
I woke up the next morning and someone was like, oh, Teddy, you're so shady.
What?
Why are you not posting on Valentine's Day? Is it because you're with someone?
Well, what did they expect to see?
Like, bro, I was with my mum. Like, mommy's out here showing off that she's got like these lovely roses. Mm. And I'm just here cradling Mimi, our little dog. So when I woke up in the morning, and also I was busy working. I actually had some brand work I needed to do on that day as well. So I was busy working. So when my question there is, let's say, because my habit, call it a bad habit, good habit, for me it's a good habit personally, because I like to have my downtime on the weekend. So my posting rate on weekends is not that high.
Mm.
But I know that there are some people out there, very small minority of people out there, that will think that every weekend I'm going out as opposed to being indoors watching a movie, Netflix all day, chilling, playing the PlayStation, watching anime, being with family, catching up with you, catching up with the rest of the family, just doing a wholesome weekend where I'm literally doing fuck all on that weekend.
Mm.
But other people would be like, no, you're hiding what you're up to. No, I'm genuinely at home. That already, we're in the realms of I don't trust you, Teddy, because you don't post on weekend. And the normal thing to do in today's society is posting on weekend.
I need to see what you're up to. And if I can't see what you're up to, then you're doing something bad.
You need to post that you're on Netflix right now.
In fact, I want your GPS. Yeah? I want to know where you are and I want to see what you're doing. And you better tell me, I want live updates. But that's a trust issue. Right? And where does that trust issue come from? And is that an insecurity? Has that come from a previous relationship where, you know, my girlfriend or my man didn't update me and I caught him doing something that, or her doing something that she wasn't supposed to be doing. And now I'm going to generalize everyone. I'm going to paint them with the same brush because of that one thing that happened to me. And that's what we do, right? We say,
he said he was at home this weekend, but actually he was doing X, Y, Z. And you carry that over to, yeah.
And I think it's important when you are in a relationship and you have those feelings, which is okay, it's completely fine. I'm not saying that, you know, if you've gone through tough times in a relationship, you've been burnt. I know what that's like. But I'm saying that when you are in those situations, you've got to be able to communicate that to your partner and say, hey, look, you know, when you're not posting, yeah, I feel like you're doing something crazy. And the reason I feel like that is because this happened. Okay, cool. Let's talk about this. Right. Mm. Why do you think I'm like that person? Okay, if now we've talked about it, you may understand now that I'm not like this person. What can I do to support you through this process of healing?
I love that.
You know, when I'm going out, I'll try not to do that because I know it triggers you. But how am I going to know that if we don't talk about it? Mm. Let's not blow up this whole place in the middle of a restaurant and you're killing the vibe right now.
Mm.
You know, I spoke to one of my friends the other day and he was like, yo, bro, you know, I've been trying to save my boy from this relationship. You know, this guy's having dinner with this girl in a public place and she's just flaming him up over trust issues. Is that the right time and place? You know, create space for having these conversations. How's the person on the other side going to feel, let alone you later on when you're reflecting about that situation?
Mm.
And, you know, some of us have pride.
Really.
So we're not going to say sorry. We're going to give you the reasons why we're behaving that way, right?
Yeah.
Have you been in those situations before when you're like, I shouldn't have said that. But in that moment, I was... You know, actually, I'm standing on business. I said what I said because, you know, it from my point of view, it was right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I know I should have said it that way.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Because at the end of the day, you once told me this, actually. I don't think it was on the podcast. So if I am repeating something you've already said, please forgive me, people. But you once told me that... different people see things in different ways. So even though you might explain a certain thing to someone, as you said, they might not take it the way that you see it or the way that you're describing it because they see it completely different. So they are going to stand on business. And the example, I'm going to put myself in the firing line here, which is crazy, but it is what it is. I was stalking someone's story the other day.
You're doing your...
No, sorry, not the other day. Whoa. Today. I don't need to put myself in that kind of fire.
Today,
fire
you did it, yeah, today?
Today, this morning. I'm on the phone and I'm like, I was looking at your story to kind of show you that I was interested.
Mm.
And then she came back to me and was like, what the fuck does that mean? What do you mean you were looking at my story so I should have known? First of all, how do you expect me to see you in my story? There's like loads of other people in my story.
Mm. You said you should be looking for me.
And then in my mind, I was like, I had that stubborn complex and I was like, nah, you saw me in your story. So. I'm like, no, you depo saw me.
Mm.
Depo saw me in your story.
Right.
So I was stubborn for a little while, but like it did, what you were saying earlier on did resonate with me because had I just communicated, yo, well, I'm not exactly telling her I feel her or whatever and I want to go on a date or I want to get to know you, I actually felt really childish after I came off that conversation, and I was like, oh yeah, I was preying your story, and you know, you still didn't message me.
You might as well have just thrown her a note that you wrote on.
It's like being in school, you throw some pencil at the back of your girl crush or something.
I love that. It's so true. We like to communicate in Morse code. Yo, I did that for you, so you know, I expect you to know that I really like you.
Wait, did you not see that?
Did not see what I did.
What?
Now let's talk about our ways of showing each other love.
Communicating the love correctly. Like, let's communicate our actual feelings correctly. Because at the end of the day, it's all well and good me communicating that I was preying your story. But that can be misconstrued in so many different ways. I could be just looking at a story because I'm looking at her aesthetically. I'm not really appreciating her. I'm not really trying to get to know her. So it's like I'm just any Tom, Dick and Harry just looking at her life, really.
So as a man, you know, how would you want a woman to kind of get that out of you when you're struggling to communicate that this is how I'm feeling? You know, you're extending the baton for her to pick it up. It's like, I'm speaking in Morse code here. This is how.
You know what's funny? I was literally just about to say, what, you want me to give away a cheat code, right?
I'm also just thinking about all the men out here, including myself, that struggle to be vulnerable with their other halves. You know, struggle to say to them, yo, when I'm doing this thing, it means this.
Yeah. Well, this is all boils down to what we're talking about, and it's trust, it's honesty. I have found more recently, as I've grown up, my adulthood, the later stages of my adulthood years. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm 28, so I'm still. There's so much more for me to learn. But I've found that being vulnerable is. Being vulnerable and seeing people's vulnerabilities is attractive. It's attractive when you're doing it in the most authentic way, and you're also you're just being real. Like, if you are, as you said earlier on, like if you are uncomfortable with something because you had a terrible past, or you had some sort of trauma from your previous relationship, or like I said, just outside of just a relationship with the opposite sex or whoever you're attracted to. Outside of that, you may have had traumas in family. You might have seen your mom and dad in you know, a bad relationship, or you've just seen something that hasn't resonated with you in terms of relationships. So either you could be cheating on someone, or you don't necessarily treat the person that you love with the utmost honesty, respect, and the way in which you value that person. You're not really reciprocating that through how you're communicating with them. I found that for me personally, just be honest with how you feel, and it's hard. I'm a stubborn person typically. You know this.
Here's something else which is quite interesting about that. So, according to a study, couples who practice vulnerability with each other report higher levels of relationship satisfaction and intimacy, with 74% of couples identifying vulnerability as a key factor in a strong relationship. You know, I'm thinking about the times when I have failed to see my partner's view eye to eye. And it's not because I can't see her view eye to eye. It's because I'm not being honest with myself about the situation. And, you know, I think that level of vulnerability and opening yourself up to someone else is very hard as a man to do, because I don't want to show that side of me. But actually, let's think of the bigger picture. Mm. Yeah, right? You know, it's not going to help this relationship right now. You know, what's going to bring peace? What's going to bring love? What's going to bring a healthy relationship for the long term? What's going to bring a happy home for the kids that we're raising is that level of, hey, I feel shit about that.
I actually really do agree with what you said in terms of the vulnerabilities, because it's a strange world out there. I do remember growing up and things just wasn't as vast. We didn't have as much access to things. And I contrast it to my little sister, and I remember saying to Charlene, our little sister, that the world has a lot of appearances. The world has got so many different kind of appearances. So just be very mindful and be very careful of the people that you do surround yourself with and the relationships that you want to go into moving forward, because it's just as important nowadays to really dive deep into the person that you are communicating with, especially if you want to be with this person for an extended period of time. If it's my work colleague, you know, I still want to kind of get to know my work colleague to a certain extent, to a professional level where we can trust each other to a certain extent. We can work with each other to a certain extent. We can work within a team because we understand each other and we understand how each other work. There's that level of trust. And I feel like equating it to a relationship now, imagine you're with a partner for 10 years plus and you don't trust each other. How's that going to work? You're just not going to make it. I would like to think you're not going to make it. There may be circumstances where, yeah, you can get to that point, but I feel like you can only lie to each other for so long.
And you start doing the things that are not good for a relationship.
100 million%. We don't want that. No. Nobody wants that.
No.
And you don't want to breed that kind of habit to the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that. Because there's a lot of people in power right now or in a high responsible position in life that display a high level of authenticity. And people really do appreciate that for a good reason. Because at the end of the day, there's a very big lack of authenticity in the world, and it's more so important that we build this trust, and we understand that trust is very, very important with whatever relationship we're going into. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I might be going too deep with that one.
But no, I love it. I love it when you go deep. That's crazy.
Yeah, you need to relax.
Yeah.
You phrase certain things, bro. Look,
you know what I meant. So I'm moving along swiftly. I wanted to talk about how how trust issues can also come from when, you know, you're in a relationship with someone and you do everything together. You walk the dog together, you cook together, you watch all your TV shows together. You're in the same friendship group. Everything is done together. But the moment one of us decides to be an individual, I don't trust you. What are you doing? How can you go out with your friends? How can you go watch that movie with your boys? You know, what is going on when we're not together? We're supposed to be doing every single thing together. I'm thinking about those couples.
Mm.
You know, what would you advise? I'm not saying that, you know, you're the relationship guru, but I'd say that you're a lot more conscious than I am about the do's and don'ts in relationships. What do you think is the best approach in those scenarios when, you know, the other half, it also could be a guy, you know, a guy could be like, yo, how the heck did you watch that podcast without me? Mm. You know, that's our Sunday routine. Mm. You know, watching Teddy Talks together.
Yes. 100%. 100%.
So what do you think is the best thing to do in those scenarios when, you know, we're now in a situation, we're in a honeymoon period where we did everything together, but now I just want to also be myself as well as be us.
I want to stress, I do think it's important that even though people can be in a long-term relationship, personally for me, I do think it's really important to have your own identity within that relationship. Just because you've got into a relationship with someone, it doesn't mean that you are suddenly not Teddy Suarez or Sydney Suarez anymore. Because the beauty and why you got with that person is because of who they were as an individual in the first place. Mm. Not who you're trying to change to become the perfect woman or the perfect man. So I do think, in answer to your question, I kind of take it back to what someone said to me, actually, which was, you kind of need to put your foot down to some certain extent. And again, it's about communication. I'm rewatching Vikings again. I think I've watched it twice now. And one of the characters, Ragnar in Vikings, he always says, if it's that important to you, you would be willing to communicate with your partner as to why you want to go to this function, or as to why you want to travel to Nigeria or travel the world. Or I don't know why I specifically chose Nigeria at the top of my head, but you just want to travel somewhere.
Maybe because you're Nigerian.
Yeah, yeah, it could be that. It could be that. Mm. I forgot about that for a minute. Nah, I can never forget about that. But yeah, if it's that important to you, you wouldn't have an issue communicating to your partner why, despite what the repercussions are.
Just to play devil's advocate, maybe I have an issue communicating it to my partner because I know how this story plays out.
You know how she may react or he may react, of course. At the end of the day, it's still a situation where if it's that important to you, you will communicate why it is of the most importance to you to go and explore and go and, you know, do certain things. Birthdays, for example, sake. If it's just a girl's holiday to, I don't know, Bali, for example, sake, and me as a guy, I really want to go. I don't want to miss out. I've never been to Bali before. I want to come with you girls. Yeah, but it's just us girls. You know?
Mm.
You need to be able to put your foot down as the man or as the woman, especially in that situation, because imagine if you break up a year later and she has just missed out on her Bali experience with her girls who may never go again.
Mm.
Because now family's happening and life is happening in those moments. So you've missed out on that opportunity because of the relationship that may or may not blossom.
Mm.
And I think back to when someone explained this situation to me, the main thing within that practice is giving the relationship a chance to blossom through those moments that feel challenging, those moments that feel as though we are joined to the hip and we're not really comfortable with doing things separately. You're never going to get comfortable with doing things separately if you're doing the same thing day in, day out. At what point are you going to feel the feeling of missing each other, coming back again, and literally the sparks are literally just going everywhere because you're rejoicing at the fact that you're back in each other's arms? Isn't that just as much as a beautiful moment than seeing your partner every day who isn't building or sustaining the life for both of you, and in some cases a family, I think it's just as important to breed that kind of habit when you, I'd like to think when I have kids, I want my kids to see me with my friends. I want my kids to see me with my family, because I think those habits that you put onto the next generation, you know, the social habits that you put onto the next generation is just as important. So without that, if you're just doing things within the relationship, when do you build time with the friends and family that you did grow up with that actually connect the two unions together? That doesn't make sense. Actually connect the union together is what I mean. I'm a firm believer that that's more beautiful when everything comes together and everything is, everyone's in that room laughing, giggling. You know, there's moments that I can tell my son that maybe mum doesn't know because they're two different experiences. Mum can give our son or daughter that experience that I can never share because she has her own identity. I have my own identity. And we meet in the middle. I don't know. How do you feel about that? And how does that resonate with you?
It resonates with me a lot. You know, I think having a sort of individuality in relationship as well as feeling connected together as a union is very important, because I was someone and you were someone before we met each other. And I don't want this relationship to make you feel like you lose who you are because you have to be with me. At the end of the day, there's going to be some underlying resentment which will lead to a breakup, which we don't want. So, you know, I absolutely agree with where you're coming from. And I think that's hard, and a lot of people could probably relate to that. It's finding that balance of, you know, I want to be with my partner all the time, but I understand it's important for them to have their time with their family and friends and, you know, not be on top of them all the time as, you know, as much as I want to. And, you know, love is a powerful feeling. You know, I can only speak to that from a perspective of when a relationship ends. You know, even thinking about my last one, you really feel how powerful love is, you know, in those moments when you break down and you're like, rah, I don't know, yeah, that person meant that much to me. And wow, you know, this feels like losing a family member. You know, I'm going through grieving. So great segue. I wanted to touch on reasons why there's that breakdown in trust. So, you know, we have these moments in our relationships, those small moments that contribute to building trust. Oh, he's done this for me and she's done this for me, and I see them when they're with their friends and they're like that, and when I'm not there, I've heard this and that and I really like that. So do you know what? I trust this person. What do you think some of the reasons are for, you know, trust breaking down? You know, we've touched on communication. You know, is there anything else you feel that causes trust issues?
Immediate thing that springs to mind is expectation. Sometimes I feel like expectation can be a horrible weed that just kills life. Like I think sometimes we expect people to do certain things or move certain ways, or, you know, rather than getting to know someone, rather than understanding someone, we expect them to do certain things. Take Valentine's, for example's sake. As I said to you earlier on, I'm expected to have a Valentine's. I'm expected to be doing something on Valentine's. Why? you know, I'm single, so why is there an expectation that I have to portray that I'm receiving flowers or buying someone flowers or on a cinema date or doing, no, I'm doing me right now, you know. And even whilst you're in a relationship, I think if there's a constant expectation, again, I'll use the example I used earlier on, or slightly different, but if there's an expectation that every single time I walk through the door at home, I'm always going to be happy because I'm seeing my wife or I'm seeing my girlfriend, that's not the case all the time. If there's an expectation that every single time I go to bed or wake up, I'm always going to be in a good mood, I'm always going to be bright and have this glow on me, no, I'm going to have down days. And it's the same thing. It's the other way around. You know, if I have the expectation that my girlfriend is always going to be happy and she's always going to be in a good mood, I'm going to set myself up for failure. Especially, God forbid, if something goes wrong and I'm not there immediately, I'm not there to support her immediately. You know, if that happens and I come through with the expectation that, babe, there should be nothing wrong with you, everything's set up, everything's all good, everything's rosy, rather than actually having the empathy, rather than actually just being open to the fact that, okay, at some point, yes, we've been through a good streak of happiness, but at some point, my shoulder needs to be tough enough to really be able to handle whatever woes she's going through. And I have to have the emotional availability to actually accept that sometimes we're going to be in a tough spot. So I think that's a big reason for me personally, looking at where we're at right now in the world. And certainly that's something I'm learning. I'm learning that as much as I love positivity and positive vibes is the 90% makeup of who I am, I like to have good energy, good positivity around me. That 10%, you know, I do have a lot of patience, but it's like, oh wait, how come you're down? What happened? How come you're so upset? How come?
You want to know now.
Oh, I kind of want to, but actually, take a beat. She'll be ready to tell me when she's ready, you know? So I think that's the best way I can explain why I also think, as well as communication, the expectation side of it.
Do you think intimacy, you know, how we show love to our partners has a role to play in it as well, or maybe it doesn't? I'm just thinking about, you know, I'm just creating a hypothetical situation. I'm not talking personally. I'm not saying you've been in this situation at all. Let's pretend we have Tom here and he's in relationship with Elizabeth, and
interested, yeah.
You know, they're in a new relationship together. And
go on, Beth.
Go on, Beth. Go on, Tom. Go on, Joe. And you know, they've started being intimate, and you know, in the in the bedroom, you know, Beth or Joe or Tom likes to do things a certain way. And it's like, I'm not vibing with that right now.
So one's freaky, one isn't freaky. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah, well, sometimes that happens, you get a mismatch, or sometimes it's beautiful and you get the match. But I'm talking about for those who are in the other side and they're struggling, and it's like, where did you learn that from? Right? And now I'm thinking about all of your past situations, and now I'm really getting uncomfortable when you're around other women or other men, because they used to satisfy you in that way, and I can't do that for you. You know, and it's like, is that something that can fester and develop into a trust issue, or was that just a, you know, not being able to satisfy your partner and their eyes will turn to the left and to the right and be like, someone else needs to
finish. I'm not sure about you, but I think that might be why, this is no ad whatsoever, but I think that that might be why that Viagra was probably created and they probably doing numbers. They are probably in the green right now. I don't really think Viagra will ever go broke.
No.
But
strong business
model. Are you asking me how do we navigate that?
That's a complex question and maybe for another podcast.
No. I think we put it out there now. We can't just leave the viewers thinking and hoping that we answer. Mm. I honestly think I was gonna say I think walk away, but no, I don't think for the most part. I want to clarify this. Sex is very important to me and I love to have that intimacy in my relationship. But to some relationships, that might not be so important. But it really does go back to the expectation thing, I think. If you have the expectation that your missus or your fella or whoever it is that you're with in your relationship is a saint and you've never ever had that conversation, but it's at the forefront of your mind, again, I'd combine the two. Lower the expectation, have the communication if it's that deep to you. And I don't mean ask what the body count is. I think that's a stupid question, but I do think it's like,
Is it
a stupid question? How does it affect your future? Beyond not being able to satisfy her or him to the previous person, like I don't think it does anything for anyone's future.
Yeah, since it's an interesting.
Bro, would you ever ask mommy what a body count is?
I would never do that.
Bro, so come on, bro.
I'm not trying to be in a relationship with mommy. Like that.
I know, but it's like, what?
I'm just thinking about, it's wrong. You know, I don't.
Would you ask, hang on.
I don't ask that question. I've heard this debate a lot. Yeah. And I like to hear it from all sides.
Man said, I'm not trying to be in a relationship with mommy. That's still ringing in my head, you know?
I love you, mommy, so much. Don't take it the wrong way. I just not romantically, okay?
No. I know. Yeah, but I get your... I'd hope so.
Yeah. What I'm trying to get at here is that, like, I understand. I actually don't ask women what their body count is. I don't think it's appropriate, and you know, they don't ask me, and I, you know,
if you are asked, would you give the number?
That's a sticky question.
Bro, I'm not asking you what your body count is.
Yeah, no.
I'm just saying, if you were asked,
yeah,
on a date, mm-hmm, would you give the number? And what would be your explanation? Because obviously you've already told me it's a sticky one. So what would be your explanation for not giving the number?
I would say, go out on a date with me and ask me and we'll see what I say.
No, I'm saying you're on a date though. Oh, what? Me go on a date with you?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, whoever wants to, right?
Yeah. And then see how you navigate.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, that's a great one.
Moment, I will...
You put yourself out there.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. We shall see about that. But you took me off on a tangent. I was going to say something about, you know, the whole debate of should you or should you not, right?
Yeah.
And I think the interesting argument is, what about the past? You know, what have you been up to? If you have been sleeping with hundreds and thousands of people.
That would be a mad thing.
Why?
That would be crazy.
Literally, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, is that because you just are struggling to connect with someone intimately for a long period of time? Am I going to be the next? How do I know?
Am I one of many?
Right. What makes me so special when there has been boom, 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 boom?
So are we delving into an insecurity here though? Because not that it's a bad thing as well. Like if we're delving into an insecurity, I think more so again, it's yeah, I can't say let's just lower our expectation. It's a bit harder than that. I think it's a bit more complex than that. But I think if it's an insecurity that, wow, like genuinely, you know, this person has been going for it for quite some time now. Mm. And I don't know, but what would give you that impression? What, just because she did something in the bedroom and you're thinking, rah, that was different. I've never experienced that before. Is that what would spark that expectation? How do you get to that point?
You know, it's a tough one, right? Because again, what we're talking about here has got a lot of nuances, you know, even from a gender perspective. As a man, you know, men would look at other men like, ooh, yo, this guy's been catching bodies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As a woman, it's like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Right?
How do you know?
That's society. I'm not saying it's right. Mm. I'm just saying there's nuances to this conversation. And you know, from my personal perspective, you know, I like to make my own judgments about a person. You know, if I don't want to hear about the number, I want to hear about who you are, you know, what you're saying. Oof.
Yes, that's so powerful.
Let's see what your being is like.
Yeah,
you know, how are you in front of my friends? What is it that you want for yourself, for your future? But I completely understand, you know, if you've seen something on porn and your girl's done that, you're like, yo, where did you pick that up from?
Maybe it's the same video though.
But you know, for someone with trust issues, it's like, I watch a lot.
You did that shit.
You did that shit.
Did you just say you watch a lot of videos?
I didn't say. I said for someone. For someone who watches a lot of porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not you specifically, yeah?
Whether I do or I don't is a no comment thing. Yeah, that one's podcast. For my therapist.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll
one
get to that one another podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk to that one in another podcast.
Because that's a very, very good conversation to have, especially with OnlyFans and everything being out there. So we'll definitely touch on that. But men can be triggered. Women can be triggered. You know, there's things. That's what I was asking. I was curious enough from an intimacy perspective. Could that also be something that could lead to a trust issue? And it'll be interesting to hear everyone else's thoughts. So, you know, guys and girls at home, they as well, let us know what you think.
I'm curious. Mm. And any scenarios where you've figured it out, or even, you know, you have some certain trust questions yourself, it'll be interesting to tackle that. So it'll definitely would be good to see that in the comments for sure.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from everyone.
I want to tie that up though, because I do think that is such a difficult one to tackle, because you can even communicate what you said, like, hey, whoa, where did you learn that from? And again, we have to trust that whatever comes out of their mouths is going to, you know, because that's one thing. That's another thing. Sometimes she or you or whoever could be completely honest about said move, said technique, and the individual still doesn't believe that person. You know, I just wanted to try it. It was in my head. I just wanted to.
I was experimenting.
Yeah, you know, and it's just like.
No, you used to do that on a regular basis.
Yeah, but like, okay, I'm, and again, I'm stereotyping here. But let's say if I was a gymnast, I'm quite flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm quite flexible. But let's say I was a gymnast and take it to the next level, and I'm just moving different in the bedroom, bro.
Mm.
Like I think
you're pulling all the Kama Sutra techniques.
Yeah, just because I can.
Mm-hmm.
Just because my leg can turn that way.
Behind your head?
Yeah. Wait, no. Why would it? But anyway,
yeah.
You see my point?
Yeah, yeah, of
just
course.
Because I can.
Yes.
I'm experimenting with what I can do with my body. It doesn't necessarily mean I've tried it before.
Mm.
It's just because I'm that guy. I'm that flexible.
Yes.
It could be the same thing on the other side of the fence. So whether or not they believe that, it's another matter.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the trust thing really does need to be built, because at the end of the day, and again, I go back to say that if you have the expectation that this person's the Virgin Mary, why are you having that expectation in the first place? Yes, we all want a nice pretty flower that hasn't been, you know, tainted in any kind of way. But at the end of the day, it really does depend on where you are at in life, you know, what you feel comfortable with, I think, as well, is also really important.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the moment you mentioned the Virgin Mary, you know, something spiritual touched this conversation, and, I was just thinking about the role of forgiveness in building trust and the role of forgiving your partner for your expectations of your partner. And it's like, yo, you didn't get me flowers today. You should have done. It's okay. But we can talk about why you didn't get me flowers. What's going on? You don't love me no more? Oh, no. I had a busy day and, you know, this, that. I'm stressed. Oh, okay. I get it.
Well, I didn't know the flowers meant that much
to you. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Okay. It's cool. And I think it's important to be able to forgive your loved ones to strengthen that trust, right? Because we're not perfect. We are imperfect human beings, and we make mistakes every day, all the time, especially in front of, you know, the Lord Most High. And I think it's, you know, it's exciting to look forward to, you know, the next relationships you and I have. I can't wait to see.
Please.
I can't wait to see the next other half you have, and you know, I can't wait to see who's going to be walking through that door for me. You know, this is it's going to be an exciting chapter. I can't wait to kick you out my house.
No, I don't think, I think you miss me, bro. Come on, let's be honest.
Yeah, I miss it.
Let's be honest, bro. I think you bawl your eyes out.
I'm gonna miss you. I miss the cooking. I won't miss the mess.
Yeah,
it's you know, you're right. You got to take the rough and the smooth. You know,
very smooth. If you do say so yourself.
Yeah.
I think we'll get there, though. We'll get there. There's still time.
Yes.
I think there's no sense in chasing a relationship. No. Like I think, again, that's another thing that you need to give yourself enough. That's something we haven't touched on, and I don't know how we haven't touched on it. The healing side of it as well. There needs to be a level of healing as well for you to be able to trust the person in front of you. You know, if you have specific things you haven't let go of, And as I say, this is not just from a relationship sense. This is broad. There's certain things you haven't let go of, and you know, if I walk into that room, I'm going to experience the same trauma I did last year or the year before or whenever you would have experienced that trauma. Then we need to do some healing. And I really do recommend doing it because it has really helped in my life. I imagine it's helped in your life. Healing has been something that's a constant. I think we're constantly as humans healing. And I think it's important to appreciate that. Mm. Because that's when we can then have a clearer mind. We can then really understand whether or not we trust this person or that person. We can actually almost not, you know, move carefree. But you have a level of appreciation for why someone has done something, your tolerance for it, and whether or not you can actually trust. Because in some circumstances, you can trust that person and you can love that person because you knew they were going to do what they were going to do in the first place. Because you understand that person enough, you know? Like I think it's a beautiful position to be in once you've really healed and then you're really open to creating those relationships with friends, family, and the future one, hopefully.
Absolutely. I love the fact that you said that, because sometimes there is that expectation that your partner is your healer, and that's not fair.
Yes.
I'm not here to heal you. I'm here to love you. And it's, that's the expectation, you know.
I would almost play devil's advocate with that, though, because there are certain periods within the relationship where you can act as a healer within certain moments of the relationship, though. Would you agree?
I would agree with that.
Yeah?
Yes.
I wouldn't say, I don't know, it's a tough one, because
there was something that Will Smith and, I know it's a very controversial topic because some people don't believe that relationships are a good one to relate to, but I love Will Smith, and you know, he's had a huge influence in our lives in terms of being able to watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the movies that he's been in, and you know, I've always watched him from a distance. And there's something that he said, he was like, there's something that he realized with his relationship is that my happiness should not depend on you making me happy. My happiness should, I'm paraphrasing here because he's more well-spoken than I am. My happiness should depend on what fulfills me.
Mm.
And I think that resonated with me, whether you agree or disagree with, you know, his choices and relationships or the things that he's done. That statement, I believe, is so powerful because you should not be relying on anyone to make you happy. Fill your cup up first, because you are not able to fill anyone else's cup if you don't have any water in yours.
No, and I really, really was my brain was going towards that direction. And that's such a powerful anecdote that you hit the nail on the head. If your cup is running low, you can't even begin to fulfill anyone around you, much less your immediate family, let alone your girlfriend, boyfriend. And even at work, to a certain extent, you can't perform in the way that you want to perform in whatever workspace you're in. I do remember when I was in the company I was working for in the finance industry, and there were certain days where, particularly around Father's Day, our dad's death and his birthday, those specific 3 days, the anniversaries of those three periods of life, or his life, my mood is always drained. I feel really low. I don't feel as positive and energetic as I would usually be on a day to day outside of those dates. It still happens to me now. And I just feel like my glass isn't full. It's not even half full. So imagine now being able to give yourself over to someone else and be able to really be your true giver to someone else. It's going to be very difficult. It definitely is going to be very difficult. And don't get me wrong, I probably appreciate that there is people out there that can still do that. Mm-hmm. But I would like to think that being fulfilled, and I don't mean fulfillment in so much as success, big house, lovely car, because last year we traveled to some amazing locations. There was people with barely anything, but yet they were fulfilled with what they had. They were fulfilled with being able to just live and enjoy life.
Yes. I think that's a great segue to our closing tradition. What do you feel is fulfilling you today? Why are you grateful for that?
I am fulfilled and grateful for, I think, more so just the opportunities that I've had to really grow and really learn from the mistakes that I've made. Because I think some of the mistakes that I've made had resulted in me having a distrust in other people, and I think also just a distrust in myself and my capabilities. But as soon as I started to open myself up, because I don't know if you can remember, but when we were younger, I really had an issue with going out. I didn't really want to be out, you know. Your you guys body. I'm pretty much am now, but I'm so much better than I was as a kid. As a kid, you guys would go to the park, you'd go to the Rye, and this is in High Wycombe, Buckinghamshire. You guys would go on long bike rides, and I for some reason there was an insecurity in me. I didn't trust my safety, or I did that. There was just something inside me that didn't allow me to go and just live life like that. But I think I'm now grateful that I'm able to just do that now. I'm grateful that I'm able to have amazing people around me that can really push me as well to do those kind of things. Because sometimes, like I say, I do fall into that habit of, yeah, and I've been at home now for weeks on end. And don't get me wrong, it's all good to focus on yourself and be at home, but sometimes it's also good to be outside and be with the family and be with the people that you trust, because there's no better feeling than being around people that you trust, love. And going back to the quote, you do love and, you know, you do trust them as well. So I'm grateful for that. What about you?
Well, that was incredible, and I want to piggyback off what you said. I'm very, very grateful for the people I can trust in my life. You know, my family, you know, my close friends, and I'm really grateful to have them, because God knows where I'll be without those people. And in this crazy world that we live in, where people are out there doing you dirty on a regular basis, you need to have those people that you can trust, those people that you can rely on, those people that you can call my brother, my sister, my lover. You know, I'm very grateful for that. And also grateful to talk about this, because how often do we ever get to talk about trust issues. I can't remember the last time we did. So I'm grateful for today. Yes, I'm very grateful for you sharing that quote. That was incredible. Thank you.
Thank you, Sid. Thank you for sharing your insights as well. And I hope you at home have enjoyed today's session here on Teddy Talks. Do me a favor as well. If you have been watching this episode and you are not yet subscribing, hit the subscribe button, hit the like, comment. Let us know your feedback. Let us know what your acts of gratitude are and give us any quotes that you tend to live by on a day-to-day basis. We look forward to seeing you again next week.